During Christmas, we celebrate what we call the doctrine of the incarnation. It's the recognition that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, that God himself, the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient being, came into the physical world, birthed into the body of a woman, and lived in a state of humility. Though he was God, he lived in a state of willing obedience to his Father. And he came into this world to redeem fallen man. And that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is a time that we celebrate the incarnation. We celebrate Christ coming into this world and what he accomplished. And it is still the largest holiday in this nation, though we've largely turned from the commandments of God, though we have largely grown callous as a people towards our Creator. This is still a time when you can walk into a grocery store, walk into a convenience store, and you can hear songs playing over the loudspeakers that, instead of glorifying sexual perversion and deviancy, as is often the case, we hear songs celebrating the birth of Christ and the life that he lived. But our nation is indeed sick. Benjamin Franklin said this many years ago. He said, "How many observe Christ's birthday, but how few his precepts." And that is the reality of our nation. The most disturbing thing to me about the Christmas spirit, the Christmas holiday in this nation today, is what I would call the commercialization of Christmas. We are flooded with massive marketing and advertising campaigns and propaganda that tug on our heartstrings, that try to evoke emotion, that try to stir within us covetousness, greed. All of us have been subjected to this from the time we were little children. We can all reflect, I'm sure, upon advertisements that we saw as little kids, and all the things we wanted and hoped were under the tree, and us salivating over the presents under the tree and hoping we got this or that new trinket or gadget or, you know, video game. And we find ourselves being filled with that which is the very antithesis of why Christ came. We find ourselves being filled with greed and covetousness and materialism, to where we begin to place objects above people, where we begin to value and strive for and have our attention focused more on material possessions and indulgences than the people that God has brought into our life that we ought to be loving, that we ought to be putting first, that we ought to be sacrificing for. Amen? And so this is an especially grievous thing in the way that such greed and covetousness, which is so contrary to Christ's very life and to the very purpose and the very meaning of Christmas, is so prominent in our culture today. And so we must be active in resisting this in our lives, because we can all fall subject to this. And it is certainly nothing new. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians that the preaching of the cross was foolishness to those who are perishing. And indeed, it is foolishness to those today. It is foolishness to many of those who, as they celebrate Christmas, as they go out their business, perhaps humming a Christmas tune, are living in opposition to Christ, are living in a disobedience to him. And the reason why the cross is foolishness to particularly our culture and all of its arrogance is because the cross is a demonstration of self-sacrifice. The cross represents dying to self. In a nation that exalts selfishness, in a nation that exalts covetousness, in a nation that exalts greed and indulgence, the cross appears foolish, that our great God would lay his life down for others. Though they were inferior, though they were weaker, though they spat in his face, he laid his life down for them. And that is indeed foolish to a pompous people, as we are. But nonetheless, the cross stands as a demonstration of God's love for this world, even in its rebellion, even in its rejection of him. God's mercy still stands. And so it is at the foot of the cross that we must call people, and where we must point people in this Christmas holiday. Pointing them to the incarnation, pointing them to the resurrection, pointing them to the reality that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior, that if we would acknowledge him as Lord, acknowledge with humble hearts and sorrowfulness our sinfulness before God, and we would lay our hearts before him We can be forgiven. We can understand the purpose of our lives. And so as we celebrate Christmas, we can sing, we can be merry, we can exchange gifts, we can do those things, we can celebrate with each other, and it is a wonderful time for this. We ought to never lose sight of what it's really about. It's about Christ, and ultimately, that's reflected in how we treat each other. It's reflected in how you treat your children. It's reflected in how you children treat your parents. It's reflected in how you treat your siblings. It's reflected in how you treat those around you. That's how you ultimately honor Christ in your love for others. Amen. So I pray that God will bless you. May each of you enjoy this Christmas season. And also be mindful of those who suffer great loss, those who suffer the loss of loved ones, those who are going through struggles this time of year. Because for many people, they don't have many people to give them gifts, to give them a hug, and to celebrate Christmas with. And so remember those people and think of them and include them in your time of celebration. So I want to thank you.
On this night a king is born, in a cattle shed. Swaddling clothes will keep him warm in his manger bed. Shepherds watching flocks by night in the fields nearby. See an angel in great light, glory fills the sky. What a wonder, what a story, what a joyful sight. Can this be another ordinary Bethlehem night? Hear the angels share the news, tidings of great joy. Now a Savior comes to you in this baby boy. What a wonder, what a story, what a joyful sight. Love is come, our God is with us on this Bethlehem night. Love is come, our God is with us on this Bethlehem night.
Jesus.